You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Deputy Leader and Health Spokesperson for the National Party, Dr. Shane Retty, put through a private member's bill on medicinal cannabis, which was drafted back in 2018 and is due to be debated in Parliament this evening. While medicinal cannabis is technically legal in New Zealand, there remain significant barriers to access with three major problem areas. The first is difficulty in obtaining prescriptions. Many doctors just don't know enough about the products and their benefits in order to feel confident prescribing them. The second being expense. As medicinal cannabis isn't subsidised, prescriptions can amount to hundreds or even thousands a month, a cost many patients simply can't afford. The third barrier is the limited availability of products on the market due to quality controls. We have little to no variety in products offered. This bill, introduced by Dr. Retty, doesn't address all of these barriers, but proposes a solution to difficulties in obtaining prescriptions through funding an education campaign with doctors and pharmacies. I spoke to Sarah Helm, Executive Director of the Drug Foundation, and began by asking her if this bill goes through, will there be room in the near future to address the lack of funding and price barriers?
Yeah, so Shane Retty's private member's bill was drafted before the current legalised medicinal cannabis product scheme availability was put in place. So he drafted it before we knew what the access issues would be under this current scheme, so he probably hasn't set out to solve those. He's helped to solve some of them, whereby he's suggesting funding some education for people who have to prescribe these things. But the main barrier, it's not the only barrier, it's very hard to get a prescription for medicinal cannabis products. But the other barrier is price, and it's a huge barrier for low-income and even middle-income people. So CBD oil, for example, costs hundreds of dollars every month for a patient. The more specialist products like Sativix, which is for things like multiple sclerosis, costs over $1,000 a month. So they're not funded at the moment, and this bill won't solve that problem. We need the government to really step in and step back from the scheme and fix some of those fundamental access problems that are occurring.
Do you think that the sort of education campaign that would be pretty central to this bill, so educating doctors and pharmacists about medicinal cannabis and the benefits of that, do you think that could perhaps push things in the right direction?
Yes, at the moment you need a doctor's prescription. This bill proposes pharmacies delivering, which is really just a different delivery model, perhaps slightly more accessible for people, but it doesn't by itself fix the need to educate pharmacists and doctors on what can be prescribed, what works, and how much does the patient need. And I think the way it normally works is the drug companies peddle that information out to people. And so doctors are a little bit in the dark, and some of them may even have like a moral objection to doing it as well, or aren't convinced of the evidence. Whereas some of us, I'm a patient who uses CBD oil and doesn't have THC in it, and it has literally changed my life. And relieved me from debilitating arthritis. So I'm one of a number of people I know who are in that situation, but it cost me a fortune. So I either have to pay a fortune, find a doctor that will prescribe, and or the other thing that people are doing is turning to the black market, because you can actually produce these products at home. And so some people are delivering that, people that we refer to as green fairies, who are doing a service, but they're risking falling foul of the law. So yeah, we need a number of changes to be made to make it more accessible for people. And this bill, whilst it is a great effort, and we're really thankful for Dr. Retty for putting it forward, it's not going to solve all of the problems, unfortunately.
Sorry, just to go back on something you mentioned before. So with this bill, pharmacists will be able to provide patients with medicinal cannabis prescriptions?
Yeah, so essentially Dr. Retty invented his own scheme before the government put forward their one. So he's just gone about it in a different way. You would access it through a pharmacy instead of it, like you do with, at the moment, with the emergency contraceptive pill or other sexual health interventions you can get at a pharmacy. You'd be able to do that through a pharmacist.
And so this education campaign, do you guys at the Drug Foundation believe that it could have the potential to transform the way the medical community in this country thinks about medicinal cannabis?
It's one of the things that we're calling for. So I think this bill is, you know, whilst it's a great effort, I'm not sure that it will progress this evening. We'll have to wait and see, of course, but it's unlikely that National would have the numbers to get it through. So just to say, it's sort of a debate that will likely happen tonight and will raise the issues. But we're recommending a number of things occur. And that the government put some effort into educating doctors and other people in the health profession about how to prescribe these products. It's one of the core things. Finding a funding solution for the products as well as one of the others.
Now, another issue is that the current market is extremely limited in the variety of products that are offered. Is this a significant issue when it comes down to the specificities of treatments that require medicinal cannabis?
Yeah, it is. And the tighter the market gets, of course, it also affects the pricing. So when there's a limited amount of competition, then the price is able to get inflated. We have a problem with the range of products that is available and the pricing of them. And at the moment, this is a little bit technical detail, but on the 1st of April, basically if products aren't registered, they're going to be unable to be prescribed or sold. And so that deadline is looming, and as we understand it, there's only one product that's managed to one brand that's managed to get a couple of products across the line, and so a lot of us patients are potentially facing discontinued products in a few weeks as well. So we wrote to the government, we wrote to the Minister of Health a couple of weeks ago. We just heard from him yesterday to say that he's received our letter and is considering it. So we are very, very hopeful that the government is going to try and perhaps at least extend the deadline to allow the current products that are on the market to continue, let alone opening up to some others. Yep.
Would this bill potentially have some room to open up the market for new products?
Yes and no. I think it's got some things within that in the proposed legislation that actually make it more and less restrictive again. So we're proposing a certain solution. We really want to sit down with the government and the ministry to work out how we solve all of these access problems. The scheme has sort of been rushed through. They've tried their best. They've meant to make medicinal cannabis available to patients, and some of us are managing to get it, but by and large it's still out of the hands of most people, or they're doing things that are currently illegal. So there are a few potential solutions on the table, and we think the government sort of need to sit down and rethink the scheme and fix those access issues.
Do you have any sort of idea on the number of patients in this country who aren't able to access the treatments they need because of barriers in the healthcare system?
Yeah, it's thousands, thousands of patients. I don't have an exact number. What we also know is that because, I can tell you about my journey. I was lucky enough to have a GP that had educated herself on the issue because she suffers from a similar disease as me. And so she'd gone out of her way to make herself an expert on it, and she recommended it to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have, thought to ask, because a lot of the information coming out about it is sort of a bit mixed. And I have literally gone from being unable to walk sometimes to being able to roller skate and go to the gym and not really ever experiencing pain or inflammation. So and for a whole year now. So not to say that that's the case for everyone, but you want to be in a situation where doctors are proactively recommending it as a treatment where it might work. And at the moment, it's all up, you know, the onus is almost on the patient to work out that maybe this is a medication that might work for them. The other thing is you come off all these other medications. So I'm not taking these anti-inflammatory drugs that were ruining my stomach, and there were some other medications that were much, much more severe that I was being trialled on, and that were having really adverse impacts on me. So I'm really living with quite an easy drug regime that's, aside from the price barrier, is just so much better for me. And so I'd love for that to be able to be true for other patients who may have price or pricing issues, or a doctor that really just doesn't understand how to prescribe or what the benefits might be.
Now, following the response from last year's cannabis referendum, do you think do you think it maybe is an indication about how the country feels about cannabis? Do you think there's still some work to do in removing the stigma of cannabis as a sort of illicit substance and towards something that can actually be very medically beneficial in some circumstances?
So there's a direct, you know, relationship with the medicinal situation here. So we have those patients who are turning to the black market or green fairies to produce. Your Weekend Herald had in Canvas magazine, had a great write-up of the Northland Green Fairy, who is producing products that have been tested by ESR and are true to label, and are supporting a whole bunch of elderly people who are suffering from conditions. So they're currently operating outside of the law and living in fear of potentially being convicted of crimes, and so decriminalising or legalising would benefit the medicinal situation. It wouldn't fix all of it, but it would allow for that to happen. And the other aspect to that is, so we had this referendum last year. The referendum was a very specific proposal, and that specific proposal was full legalisation, which would have allowed for sale of products. And it wouldn't have allowed for advertising and things, that was all to be locked down, but nonetheless it was going to allow for sale. It almost passed. We got close, within a couple of percent, so 48 to 50 was the percentages. The study yesterday showed that of the people that voted no, 39% of them support decriminalisation. So we essentially have 69% of the population support either legalisation or decriminalisation. Those people that voted no but support decriminalisation, maybe the full legalisation was a bridge too far for them, I would presume. And so they do, you know, basically we have a situation where the public supports change in our cannabis laws.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.